Would you please turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. If you'll find that and mark it, we'll begin there here in just a few moments. As we begin, I want to ask you, can you relate to this picture? All right? That is anger from a Pixar movie a number of years ago. Well, that's anger. And, you know, some of us, when we get angry, like, we kind of look like this, don't we? We get all red and hot, kind of blow up. Some of us, on the outside, we don't really show it, but inside, maybe this is the picture that we have. And so I've just come to realize that it doesn't really matter a person's personality, extrovert, introvert. You know, we all struggle with anger. We all deal with that emotion of anger. And so this morning we are continuing in our sermon series of the Sermon on the Mount. We've titled this series, Words to Live By, and we're looking at this very famous teaching of Jesus. And we come to this very important topic of our anger and the anger that we can hold on to. And because of our anger, the words that we may say that are so insulting and harsh for others, that because of our anger, we can hold on to hatred, that bitterness can just stay in our heart. And so this is a very relevant topic that we all deal with. Now we're going to get to Jesus teaching on anger. And just to clarify, he's speaking of unrighteous anger. But before we get there, I do want to clarify that not all anger is wrong, okay? Sometimes we think, okay, anytime that I get angry, it's wrong or sinful, but that's not necessarily the case. We find in the New Testament letter of Ephesians, for example, the Apostle Paul, he writes to this church, and he's laying out this great doctrine in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. Then he gets to chapters 4, 5, and 6, and he gets very practical of how to live out the gospel in your faith, and he says this about anger. He says, be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin, meaning that we can be angry at times and actually not sin. We can have a righteous, or we might say a right kind of anger. Now, what's this look like? Well, we can see the injustice in our world that people are taken advantage of. Maybe somebody that we know, some bad things have happened to them at work. Maybe they got let go and it was unjust, it was wrong, and we can be angry about that. Maybe another example is this, that you have a family member or a friend and they're doing some things in their life, and maybe this has been going on a while, that what they are doing, some relationships they have, maybe some substance abuse that they're taking, whatever it may be, that they are hurting themselves. And it's devastating them. And you're angry, not so much at them. You're just angry at the situation. You care for that person. You love that person. Well, that would be a right kind of anger. But also let's get real. We get frustrated with people. All right? We have so many different relationships and we can get frustrated. You know, kids, maybe this week, you know, school's ending. You kind of were getting frustrated with your parents. Parents, maybe you're getting frustrated with your kids at work. Maybe you're working on some type of project and things aren't going the way they should and you're just frustrated. And so sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's not sinful. It's not wrong. We find this with Jesus where he gets angry and he gets frustrated. There's this story in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 3 that Jesus, he's doing his teaching and traveling, going to different places, and he comes upon this man who has this withered hand. His hand is just all messed up, and he meets this man on the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath, especially the time of Jesus, was a time where you did no work, and the religious leaders at the time, they really held on to that, and they really went overboard. And so Jesus, he finds this man. And they're looking at Jesus, these leaders, saying, is he going to heal him or not? So they didn't want Jesus to do this. They said he would be breaking the law if he did this. But Jesus poses this question. He says, on the Sabbath, are we to do good or evil? And Jesus looks around at all these different people, all these religious leaders, and nobody would give him an answer. And it says that Jesus was angry. He was angry at their hard heart, and Jesus then went on to heal that man. We find Jesus get frustrated with his disciples. So Jesus had 12, he had many followers, but he had 12 young guys that were his disciples. And they were with him for around 3 years, and these disciples are actually hearing the Sermon on the Mount. Now, sometimes this teaching of Jesus, we think maybe he just gave it one time, but no, Jesus went all these different villages giving this teaching over and over again, and so they would have heard this, and it would have really been drilled down in their minds. They saw Jesus do miracles and heal people, just all these amazing things, but yet sometimes these young disciples, these young guys, their faith would be tested, and they'd stumble, they'd fail. And there were times that Jesus would just get so frustrated with them that they weren't growing and maturing in their faith more. And so we, in a similar way, can be righteous in our anger. We can get frustrated and not sin. But unfortunately, though we have this example of Jesus and we can be like this ourselves, we so often fall short, don't we? That in our anger, it crosses that line to an unrighteous anger. We say insulting things. We say hurtful things about other people. We get frustrated, which leads us to getting angry and upset. We lash out at others. We call them names. We think the wrong things, and we sin. And so this topic of anger is such an important one. It's a practical one. We all struggle with it. We all get angry. We say hurtful things. And I find it so interesting that Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he goes through the Beatitudes, which we looked at a few weeks ago as these marks of a Christian, what a Christian is to look like. And then last week, we talked about being salt and light, being this positive influence in our world. And we're thinking, what would Jesus then lead to next? And he first starts with this topic of anger because it is so vital to our relationships, both with each other, but also with God. And so let's look at the words of Jesus, this teaching of Jesus. Look with me at Matthew chapter 5. We begin with verses 21 and 22. Jesus says this, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." Now let's set the stage a little bit. Jesus begins in verse 21, and he says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And Jesus does this over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount. He actually does it 6 times. "You've heard it said, but I say to you." Now the reason that Jesus does this is because the religious leaders at the time, they had created a tradition that lowered the standard on God's law. See, God's law being the Ten Commandments, but it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. Those were kind of like the table of contents, if you will, because elsewhere in the Old Testament, God would expand on those Ten Commandments. And so they took that and they lowered the standard. And so what they were basically focusing on is the external. They were saying, hey, if you don't murder someone, you're fine. So disregard being angry and insulting and bitter and those angry outbursts, as long as you don't murder somebody, you're good. Which, I mean, at that time, most people weren't murdering people. We would say, hey, we're doing pretty good. But Jesus is going beyond that. He is going beyond the command of you shall not physically murder, and he is going to the issue of our heart. This is why Jesus in verse 20, the verse right before our passage this morning, he would say this, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now we could hear that and say, then there's no way that we can be obedient to God. I mean, the Pharisees were meticulous in their observance of the law, except they kept it external. They kept it on the outside. And Jesus is going beyond that. And the righteousness that we can have that exceeds these teachers of the law and the Pharisees is one that begins internal. It begins in our heart, the core of who we are, because it's in our heart that the outflow of that determines what we say and what we think. And so we need to look at what Jesus is saying here about anger. And one of the things that Jesus mentions, and this is really amazing, is how closely anger and our insulting words are, how closely related they are. In verse 21, Jesus says that we are not to call someone raka or fool. Now, my guess is this week, if you got angry with somebody, you didn't say, you raka, right? I don't think anybody said that. You're going, what's it even mean? Well, this is an Aramaic word, and it means empty head. That's getting a little closer, isn't it? And we might translate it stupid, idiot, something like that. What's interesting is this word was actually a swear word in Aramaic. And so think this week, maybe you're driving to work, somebody cut you off. You said, hey, I bless you. I bless you that you did that, right? No, we said words that we shouldn't have said. Raka, right? Empty head or something worse. And Jesus is saying, we cannot do this. That the same mouth that we use to bless God should not be the mouth that we insult and say those harsh words to others. And Jesus says that when we have this anger, it's like we are murdering someone. And then he even says that we are in danger of the fire of hell. Now, does that seem extreme? I mean, is Jesus just being kind of over dramatic? I mean, yes, we all say things we shouldn't say. We think things we shouldn't say. But to be in danger of hell? But again, we need to see how important of our anger and our harsh words, what they mean. You don't necessarily need to turn there. You can if you want. It'll be on the screen. But I want us to look at 1 John. Okay, so 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 to 21. So 1 John 4, 19 to 21. John, who was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, and again, heard this teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, he would say this. He says, we, that is, you know, at that time, this church he was writing to, but by extension, you and I today, he says, we love because he, that is God, first loved us. Verse 20, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. You see what John is saying? Is that somebody we see in person, face to face, we cannot hate that person. If we hate that person, John is saying there is no way that we actually love God. And though none of us are perfect and we mess up in our relationships and we say things that we regret, yet if we are hateful, and we hold on to that hate and that anger and that bitterness, and we don't forgive and we don't reconcile that relationship with that person, John is saying, he's given us a warning that it may show that we're not actually a follower of Jesus. He's saying, if you can hold on to that hate, then you may not have that saving relationship with Christ. And you'd be separated from God for all eternity. But it's not just kind of a future judgment. It's also a judgment in the here and the now. I found this quote from a secular non-Christian psychology website speaking of the effects of anger, or we might say the judgment that we have to deal with right now. It says, anger creates energy surges. And when energy surges occur, chemicals such as adrenaline enter your bloodstream, your heart rate increases, your blood flow increases, your muscles tense. Losing your temper affects your cardiac health. It can shorten your life when it is sustained. Anger also compromises your immune system. So not only do we have the judgment of hell and is our relationship with God right, we have health issues that arise from anger. But also our anger and our hatred can affect who we are becoming. When I was a kid, there was someone my family knew. And it was just awful. She ended up dying pretty young. And I can remember my father saying she was one of the most bitter people he knew. And before that, she was kind and got along with people. But there were some things that happened in her family that caused her to get so bitter and hateful that he was saying, I think it affected her health. And it may have even led to her dying early. I'll never forget that. And so maybe you know somebody like that. They were kind of just went with the flow. Everybody liked them, but then something happened and you look at where they're at now, and maybe it's been 10 years or 20 years and they are not the same person. They're angry. They are bitter. And this is a form of judgment, not only our health being affected, but we are becoming that person we don't want to become. And this is the judgment, or these are the judgments that Christ is warning us about. That holding on to anger and bitterness leads to our own harm. This is how serious we have to take anger. That if we're just saying those insulting words and moving on, Jesus is trying to grab our attention and say, no, it's affecting who you are becoming. It's affecting your relationship with me. Now, Jesus, he continues and he gives two illustrations of how anger and hatred plays out. And again, he's trying to grab our attention of how important this is. Look with me at verses 23 and 24. It says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Now, put this picture in your mind. This person goes to the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And this was the dream for anybody, that they could go to Jerusalem, go to the temple. Many people did not live in Jerusalem, and so it was a long trip. If Jesus, where he gave the Sermon on the Mount, is in this region of Galilee, it was about 80 miles from the temple. So especially at that time, a long way to go is a hard trip. And so this person, they finally get to the temple. They offer their gift before the Lord. They're about to complete that whole process. And then they remember that relationship. They remember those insulting words, those angry words, those hateful words. And they are to drop their offering and go to that person. It might have been miles and miles away, days, weeks to get back to the person. You see almost kind of how crazy what Jesus is saying is. But put this in our own context. You show up to church. I mean, it's been a long week. Kind of get a slow start, but now you're beginning to sing some songs. You're beginning to worship God. You're kind of getting in the mood, so to speak, putting your focus on Christ. But then you remember that a couple weeks ago, I really damaged my relationship with my mom or my dad or my adult child. And what we are to do is leave here. We're to get out of here and we're to go to that person and get that relationship right, or at least seek that reconciliation. God would rather you get that relationship right than come to church and worship him. That's how extreme what Jesus is saying is. And I want to ask you, are there relationships in your life right now that you need to seek to reconcile? But also I want to ask you this, is your relationship with God kind of dry, kind of stale, maybe almost non-existent? And there could be different reasons for this. Maybe we're not being faithful and reading the Bible or praying. Okay, we have seasons where things are kind of dry with the Lord and we kind of need to push through that. It may be sin in our life, but it may be because a relationship that we have is fractured. See, our relationship with each other, what's sometimes described as the horizontal relationship we have with each other, affects our vertical relationship with God. This is why that command to love God is paired with love your neighbor. They go together. And if our relationship with other people is damaged, it's going to affect our relationship with the Lord. Jesus continues and he gives us another illustration. Look with me at verses 25 and 26. Jesus continues and he says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge and the judge may hand you over to the officer and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So again, put this picture in your mind. Two people have had a conflict. And they're heading to court. They're walking to court. Jesus is saying, Take care of it now, because when you get to the courtroom, you don't know the outcome. You don't know what's going to take place. Resolve it now. Take care of it on your own. Now, the point that Jesus is giving here is not so much legal advice, though it could be. What Jesus is getting at is that we need to resolve our conflicts in a quick manner. Resolve it quickly. Don't let it drag on, because the longer that conflict and that bitterness is there, that anger is present, the worse it gets. We have to deal with it now. So it's, you know, summer. This is kind of the official kickoff of summer. And so the pool in our neighborhood opened up and everybody went there kind of nuts. I mean, the water was freezing, but anyway, they went. And the grills, I noticed they're fired up. And so I'm kind of right in that. I got me a new Blackstone grill. It's great. I love the thing. So I've cooked on it twice. The family is singing my praises for how good my food is. Not really. It's been pretty good. But anyway, they're liking it. And so I set up this griddle, and it took a lot of time and effort to finally get it together. And so I said, you know what? I need to read the instructions. I don't want to, you know, mess this thing up. And so one of the things that I picked up on is after you get done cooking on it, you have to clean it immediately. You can't turn it off and come back a few days later. No, as soon as you get done cooking, as it's still hot, you got to do a few things, and then you can go eat your food. And I thought of that when I think of what Jesus is saying. See, in that grill, it gets hard. It ruins it. If you don't take care of cleaning it immediately, it will rust out and be no good. And in this, like our relationships, we say that insulting word, that the relationship is damaged, and what do we begin to do? We delay. We begin to make excuses. We don't move to that person, and we hold on to it, and it solidifies, it calcifies, if you will. It becomes hard. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. That be quick to resolve that conflict. You say those hurtful words, and your conscience hits you. The Holy Spirit works in your life. Go to that person and say, I am sorry I said that. Can we resolve this? So I want to ask you, is there a relationship where it's just gotten hard? Where there's been insulting words back and forth? There's been some hatred back and forth, some real anger. Do you need, as a follower of Christ, to go to that person and reconcile that relationship? Now, they may not want to be reconciled, but you, as a follower of Jesus, we are to at least offer that, to seek that reconciliation so that relationship can be put back together. That's what we're to do as followers of Jesus. And what Jesus says here about anger is so hard. I mean, it just almost seems impossible. So how is this possible? How can we not live with this anger in our lives when people hurt us, when people are so cruel at times to us? And I believe the only way that we can do this is through a saving relationship with Christ, where we experience His grace and His forgiveness, that we have damaged our relationship with Jesus, but in His love for us through the cross, He brings reconciliation and forgiveness to us. And through the Spirit living in our heart, we are now able to go to that person. When everything in us doesn't want to go to them, we don't want to do it. We do it because of what Christ has done for us and the Spirit working in our hearts. We can only live in this way through the power of Christ. And so again, I want to ask you one last time. Is there a relationship that you need to seek out? Or is there anger that's just in your heart? You've just kind of been angry for the last few months. Why are you so angry? And know that through the Spirit working, it won't necessarily be a quick process, but through the Spirit working in your heart, you will become less angry. You will become more and more made into the image of Christ. And so begin by confessing any sin or any anger that you are holding on to. And then take that next step to go to that person and seek their reconciliation. Because this is what we do as followers of Jesus. It's been told by some cultural commentators. They've said that we live in an age of rage, that everybody is so mad and angry and upset. And one of the things with the Sermon on the Mount, it is very countercultural. And I believe one of the ways that we can be countercultural as followers of Jesus is to not live in this way of being angry and insulting. That we can be that salt and that light in a world that is so dark and confused and so angry, that we can be different and we can point other people to Christ. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I want to take this moment to reflect. And if you need to confess any sin, do that now. That maybe you need to make a note that I need to reach out to this person. Is there any bitterness or anger that's taken root in your heart that you need to release? And I also want to ask, if you have never crossed over that line of faith to become a follower of Jesus, would you do that today? Not only are you saved and forgiven, but your heart will be transformed and that anger and bitterness that you're holding on to will be released. It'll be released. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for your word, but Lord, we also are so challenged by it. And Lord, help us to see, Lord, the close connection that, Lord, our relationship with you, Lord, is affected by our relationship with other people. Lord, help us not to forget that. And Lord, if we need to take that hard step this week, Lord, even today, Lord, help us to do that through your strength and your power. But Lord, we also, where we stumble and fail, Lord, where we sin in our anger, we are thankful, Lord, that we are not saved by, Lord, our works, but by yours, Lord Jesus. That you are sinless and perfect, that you went to the cross for us to give us salvation. But Lord, help us that now that we have that, to live in a gracious way before others. I ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.